I'm super excited. It was really tough. It was fun. I enjoyed it. It was definitely a different ball game, but I had a blast, so thank you.
How do you do that? How do you do that? What the hell is going on?
What is going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Nothing Catchy podcast. I am one of your co-hosts today, joined by Dion. Dion, how's it going, man?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. I can't complain. Thanks for asking. You may notice normally Mike is the one hosting this, but he is unfortunately feeling a bit under the weather. So Mike, rest up, feel better, man. I was going to make there's some sort of joke in there about him being 2-10 and being sick and needing to rest up. I don't know. I guess he's just going into hibernation mode or something for next season. He's going to come back really strong. I don't know. That's as good of a joke as I got.
It's an excuse he can use for later.
Sure, for sure. All right. So, Dion, before we hop straight into the fantasy aspect of things, what stood out to you about this last week of football?
Oh, what stood out to me? I don't think... Oh, well, a big thing that stood out to me, I think, and probably a bunch of other NFL fans, is that the Jets may be something serious with, it's Mike White, right?
That's correct, yeah.
Mike White at quarterback. They look good. He utilized Garrett Wilson more than Zach Wilson did. That's probably the biggest thing that stuck out to me. I can't think of anything else that was really crazy to me. Not that I remember.
Yeah, Zach Wilson, man. What a foolish thing. I don't remember if we talked about it on last week's episode. Actually, I wasn't on. I listened to Doug and Mike talk about it. I can't remember if they discussed this, though, how Zach Wilson at the end of last week's game basically was like, no, I don't blame the offense. It's not our fault we lost. Like, what a foolish thing to say. I was shocked when I heard that. I was like, oof, that's a bad look, man. That's a bad look. Yeah, you put up 3 points. Wild. So,
well, then you watch these other like big name quarterbacks like Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, any of those bigger name guys. And, you know, even like what we saw on Sunday, you know, it wasn't a great showing by the Chiefs. They sputtered at times, especially down in the red zone. But the first thing Mahomes said after the game was, you know, like, we got to be better offensively. And it starts with me. He's right. Like, I threw, you know, that pick at the end. He took all the accountability, but they still put up 26 points. You know, they right. coasted to 26 points, which, you know, is not the typical high flying Chiefs offense, but like 26 points wins you football games in the National Football League, you know? So the fact that definitely. He can put up 26 points, and he's still taking full accountability for everything that happened, you know, and then you see that all the time with Josh Allen. He's the first one to do it too. But it's just wild to me. I think he threw for like 77 yards that game, Zach Wilson did, and he still had the audacity to be like, no, I didn't let my defense down.
Yeah. Yeah. So Mike White, yeah, he came out and he apparently balled. Let me look at these stats real quick. He put up, was it three tubs? At least two.
I think
three
it was
three touchdowns.
Was it three?
15 and three touchdowns. Yeah. Good for him, man. Good for him.
Yeah. It's definitely good to see. I know he stepped in last season for a little bit. Okay. But I don't recall his stats. See if I can pull them up. I guess last year he completed 67% of his passes for 950 yards, 5 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. So it wasn't great last year. But you know, it's been an entire off season and everything else. So I would love to see him step up into that role and be able to, you know, continue to take this Jets team up and up, because he's still a young guy. No, he's 27. But it's not like he's old by any means.
Right. Yeah. Still relatively young, big picture. Let's talk about these Thanksgiving games real quick. We can talk about the games in general and then into any fantasy, performances there. Buffalo, Detroit. So far, 2 weeks ago, I made the bold prediction that Buffalo wasn't going to make the playoffs. Not feeling quite as strongly about that anymore, because I was thinking the sneaky Detroit Lions, who I think, to be fair, they're still kind of sneaky, right? I mean,
Definitely.
Okay. Okay.
They should have won there. I mean, in my opinion, they should have won there. That was terrible clock management in the final 2 minutes by Dan Campbell. I'm not sure what he was thinking, but I personally think that the Lions had the advantage there. And I was thinking about the whole time that you made the hot take, and I was like, you know, if the Lions win this one, the Bills will fall to 7-4. They'll be one game back behind the Dolphins for the division lead, and then they'll be two games back behind Kansas City. We hadn't won at that time, but I'm hopeful, especially against the Rams. But two games back out of, you know, the one seed. And so I was sitting there thinking, like, they might do this, you know, but the final 2 minutes just absolutely fell apart. And I think a lot of people were sad and upset about it, but.
Right. Poor Detroit Lions. Yeah. So close yet so far. Any fantasy performers that stuck out there? Amon'ra Brown. That's Elijah's guy. He popped off 123 in a tub. That was probably the highest of the fantasy performers there. Giants in Dallas. Did you watch that game?
I believe I watched bits and pieces of that game.
Yeah. That was the one that I watched the least of. And unfortunately, it ended up being, the final score was 20-28, but it actually wasn't anywhere near as close as that. It was a garbage time touchdown, and the Cowboys kind of handled business there. But the Vikings and Patriots game was a cool one, because I was actually, I'm sure you saw it, Dion, I was actually at that game with Elijah out in Minnesota. So that was a blast, and it was a back-and-forth game. It was a fun one to watch. It was a super fun one to watch.
And that kind of surprised me, honestly, because, I mean, they're sitting right around 60 points, which is kind of surprising for me, given that the over-under was probably mid-40s. But I thought the Vikings were going to easily win this game. I know the Patriots have a great defense, but I thought that the Vikings could overcome that great defense, but I didn't think the Patriots offense could keep up with the Vikings defense, and they proved me wrong.
So. You know, the Vikings actually have the, I heard this stat, or I saw it on Twitter, so who knows, maybe Twitter was lying to me, but I read or heard somewhere that the Vikings don't have the 32nd ranked pass defense, which is bad. They have the last ranked pass defense. I could be wrong on that, if you can fact check me on that real quick. But yeah, their defense was getting carved up. It was getting absolutely just torn up, but when you have a guy like Justin Jefferson on your team, dude, Kirk knows. He would see, anytime Jets.
Yeah.
Anytime he saw him one-on-one, he'd put that ball up in the air near him, and he would just go up and grab it. Go through contact, through hitting the ground, that boy, oh man, baller. And he popped off as well in fantasy. I think he's going to be a lot of people's first pick, potentially, if you're in PPR league. Obviously more value, but he's going to go in a lot of first rounds next year, I think.
I definitely agree. By the way, your stat is correct. They are the worst pass defense in the NFL. But I do completely agree with that, especially given the fact that this year with fantasy, running backs have been kind of like hit or miss, you know, like the running backs have been like underperforming, you know, on a year by year basis. This is probably like historically one of the worser years for
sure seems that way, man.
Running backs, which is weird. And then, yeah, you got have a guy like, you know, Jefferson, who gets 9 catches for 140 yards and a touchdown. And we're just like, yeah, it's great. But like, that's just like Justin Jefferson for you. You know, it's nothing like too insane. It's kind of just becoming the standard for him. I do have one question. There was a crazy play in that game. Was there a pick six? I don't remember what it was.
It was a kick return for a touchdown.
So I saw on Twitter, somebody said something about like, there's no stadium in the NFL that matches this. So you being a Chiefs fan, you've experienced Arrowhead at its finest. Do you think that, I don't know what their stadium name is called, but do you think that they came close? Obviously they're in a dome, whole different setup, but do you think that the environment was even close, like during that play or anything?
So the moment that was the loudest, I'll tell you right now, was near the end of the game on, I think it was basically the game sealing play. So fourth down when the Patriots were going for it, this was the loudest moment for sure, was when he threw the incomplete, because it was loud. Everyone was on their feet screaming, you know, and then incomplete, there was that, you know, the final kind of roar of the cheering. That moment, I would say for sure echoed Arrowhead. Like, really? I was very impressed by the Vikings fans. They get loud. Another really cool thing is I've been to 4 different NFL stadiums, so not a lot. You know, that's just a few of them. But from the ones I've obviously seen all the other stadiums and whatnot on TV, and I think Kansas City and Minnesota probably have the coolest and most unique, like, traditions and chants and cheers. because I love the tomahawk chop at Arrowhead. I love Land of the Free and the home of the Chiefs and all of our cool traditions. And Minnesota has a lot of their own that are really cool and very, very unique with the skull chants and the several other things. They have this whole like touchdown victory song. And I'm just like, man, this is crazy. So super cool environment. I got a lot of respect for Vikings fans, especially since, I mean, we joke around about it being tough being a Chiefs fan because of all the misery we've gone through in our lives. But I mean, Vikings fans don't even have a Super Bowl. So it's easy for me to empathize with that fan base. And it's so cool to see them be so passionate still, you know, definitely. Like when they get their Super Bowl, it's going to be well-deserved. Cause that fan base has been through a lot of hell to put it bluntly.
And I think that's a cool thing about football is that, you know, as a fan that's gone through what another fan base has gone through, like you said, you can sympathize with them, you know?
Yes.
To where, you know, like, I guess my buddy's an Eagles fan, you know, and obviously he's one of my buddies. So I'm going to root for his team, you know, for the sake of the friendship. But, you know, you watch them go through these terrible years and they stick it, you know, they stick it through. Obviously, the Eagles had a Super Bowl a couple years ago. But, you know, fan bases like that where it's like, you know, that's kind of why I was, you know, I might have been, you know, the minority here last year when the Bengals beat us, went to the Super Bowl. One of my good buddies, a Bengals fan, I was rooting hard for him and I was super happy for him. Things are a little different, you know, because this week's a little different. They also kind of, you know, overstayed their welcome in that department. But you look at Bengals fans and you're like, you know, they went through, they've been through, I mean, ultimately, besides the Browns, maybe the worst of it in our lifetime. And then, you know, they finally make it to the top and you're like, man, that was me, you know, three, four years ago. And now look at us, you know. But it's super cool to be able to, like, go to these games where it's not your team. And sometimes you can kind of pull yourself back from the game itself and just realize all those different traditions, you know, like I've been to, I went to a Seahawks Cardinals game this year. And then I've also been to the Eagles Cardinals game this year and just seeing how passionate and crazy Eagles fans are, you know, it's something cool to see, to be able to go and experience like all their traditions and stuff. And that's not even a home game, you know?
Yeah. Big time, dude. And so here's the real, this is the thing. I said that the Vikings game at its loudest to me rivaled Arrowhead. However, there's a little bit of an asterisk on this. This was a primetime game. I've never been to primetime Arrowhead. Have you ever been to a primetime game at Arrowhead?
I have, but that was when we got smacked by the Bills. And
okay. So it wasn't a very hype game.
No.
But dude, I want to go to a primetime Chiefs game. Cause I'm sure cause I think the Vikings, they had a little bit of, they had a decibel reader on the screen. And then they also, I kept checking my watch, you know, check the decibels. Cause my watch can tell me how loud it is. Excuse me. And it peaked just over 120 from what I saw. And you put that in comparison, you know, Arrowhead 142.7 or whatever is our record, 142.4.7, something like that.
Yeah.
It's like, and decibel readings, it's not linear. Like it's not a linear progression. It's exponential. So once you start getting up at that level, you have to basically double the amount of sound. It's insane. It's, I don't know how Arrowhead hit 142.2. That's so crazy to me. So, anyways, a lot of respect for the Vikings fans out there. And also they're close, man. They got a squad. I'm not a Kirk Cousins believer. I don't think he's going to, you know, I don't know my faith in him. I got to see him do it in the playoffs, you know, and then I'll be like, okay, maybe they can win it, but they're close. Okay. We can kind of touch on the rest of the games here. As we talk about fantasy wise, we can reference games and stuff, but let's move along to injuries.
Well, watch the news. And if I'm a kid and apparently every time, apparently
all right, injuries, quarterback injuries, Aaron Rodgers. Kind of some breaking news. I think they talked about it potentially last week. Again, I'm sorry if this is retreading old news, but the whole broken thumb thing that leaked out from a Make-A-Wish kid. You heard about that?
I did. Yeah, I didn't hear that it leaked out because of a Make-A-Wish kid, but I did hear about the broken thumb.
Yeah, so the Rodgers, I guess, saw a Make-A-Wish kid, and then the kid asked, like, is your hand okay or something? And he said, yeah, I broke my thumb, but I'm playing through it or whatever. And then the kid tweeted this later and it was like crazy.
So for his Make-A-Wish, he got to meet Aaron Rodgers and become, Adam Schefter all on the same night. Like, you get a double wish. Right.
Exactly. It's so funny. Yeah. So then that was going into this game was kind of the thing. Everyone's like, oh, his thumb's broken, but he's still playing. Well, he also suffered an oblique injury. I guess he took a hard, I missed this hit. I didn't see this actually, but I guess he took a hard hit to the side. Did you see this?
I didn't see the hit. No.
Okay. Well, compound that on top of the injury that was there with the thumb, which a lot of people I saw online were saying probably needs surgery. Now he has an oblique injury, took him out. Did Jordan Love, correct me if I'm wrong, played almost the entire fourth quarter, or he did play the entire fourth quarter.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. And he played good. Christian Watson, correct?
Yep.
Rookie wideout had another touchdown. That's 6 in 3 games, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
So Christian Watson, who picked him up, by the way, I forget.
I'm not sure.
Doug? If he was picked. Doug, isn't it? Pretty sure it's Doug. I'm pretty sure it's Doug who has him. So congrats to Doug on snagging that guy. Let me double check here real quick. Christian Watson. Yep. Doug has him. So congrats to Doug on that pickup. We'll see. What are your thoughts on that Aaron Rodgers injury?
I don't know. So this is from the Pat McAfee show. There's some speculation that Matt LaFleur was going to shut down Aaron Rodgers for the rest of the season, given that, you know, with the loss in this last game, they're kind of, you know, they're not mathematically eliminated, but they're kind of not, you know, the odds are very slim to make the playoffs. Yeah. Then if you look into the future, the Green Bay Packers, some would want Aaron Rodgers to be there, but you also don't want to make it worse. If he is there next year, you don't want to make it worse by, you know, playing him in meaningless games the rest of the year. So I'm not sure. I will say, you know, when I watch games of other, you know, like primetime games, most of the time I'm, you know, playing video games or whatever. So I'm watching it kind of on my second monitor or whatever. I will say Jordan Love, he looked pretty good. You know, some of his throws were a little off mark, but they were still completions, you know. But he looked good for stepping in maybe there was some, you know, some thought floating around that, hey, Aaron Rodgers kind of banged up, so there's a possibility, you know, I could have to give it a go tonight. But I mean, for stepping in there, I thought he looked really well, or looked really good.
Yeah, totally agree. Now, I don't think that means that I would go pick up Jordan Love, whether you're trying to go for consolation bracket or championship. Obviously, you got better options out there right now. Because even Aaron Rodgers himself, that offense is just limited. There's a pretty hard cap on what they're going to put out this year. So even with, Aaron Rodgers is out, he's only averaging, I think, like maybe 17 or 18 points a game this year for Aaron Rodgers, which by his standards is awful because, I mean, he's reigning back-to-back MVP, correct? Has he won the last two MVPs? Yeah.
Yes.
So that dude's been throwing 40-plus tubs every year and, you know, for 4,500, close to 5,000 yards every year. And he's just been, by his standard, so mediocre. So, and I don't think that offense, a lot of that I don't think is on Aaron Rodgers per se. I think a lot of it is on lack of weapons. That front office just seems to find a way to screw up their elite quarterback play far too often. Okay. Yeah. two chips with Favre, with 30 years of Favre and Rodgers is an incredible bust in my opinion, but
100%.
They should have, come on, conservatively at least 3, they should probably have 4, honestly, with those two guys for that, like 35 plus years. All right. Another injury, Matthew Stafford concussion. Oh, out for the season. This says, did they decide to just shut him down because the team is whatever, 3-8? Is that the slant here?
I'm not sure. I am seeing this here that they were considering shutting down. Can you hear that, or is that just me?
Hear what?
I heard some music.
Seriously? I didn't hear it. It didn't come through my
end. I'm getting an ad here from one of my tabs.
That Rams QB Matt Stafford could miss rest of the season per report. Okay.
Yeah.
So nothing, I guess. We'll miss Sunday's game against Chiefs. Yeah, this is old news. Okay. Well, I mean, honestly, at this point, the Rams, literally, there's no reason not to. I mean, they're not making the playoffs. I don't know if they're mathematically eliminated either, but come on. There's 5 games left at this point. It's 5. How many games have they played? 5 or 6 at most. Yeah.
No, 5.
Exactly. You're okay, 5 games left because they're 4-8. That's 12, and they're 17, so 5 games left, right?
Yeah. No, 6 games left. Sorry.
6 games left. Let me look at this. Are they on a bye? Oh, no. Okay, so they're 3-8. 8, 9, 10, 11, and there's 7. Yeah, so 6 games left. Boom, we did it. Good job, Dion. Math. Let's say they win all 6. Highly unlikely. They finish at 9-8. I mean, it's just not worth it, in my opinion. If this dude's concussed,
yeah,
let him... I mean, it's the same deal as Rodgers, what I'm saying. Shut Rodgers down, play Jordan Love.
He was dealing with another injury as well. I don't remember what it was. I just remember there was something in the beginning of the season that people were saying that, I think they were saying that he could potentially miss the whole season. And then he started anyway. And then he had, you know, it kind of stuck around. And then this concussion came up. So, yeah, they're probably looking at the schedule, realizing like, hey, we're 4th in the NFC West at 3-8. The Niners are good, you know, not saying that Cardinals are good, but, you know, they're better than the, you know, better than the Rams. And then you got the Seahawks, too, who are going to compete for probably a wild card spot, if not the division. So I think they made the right decision, or they will make the right decision if they do choose to shut them down. But I will say I follow some Rams fans on Twitter, and some of them are speculating that they might be losing Matthew Stafford and Aaron Donald to retirement this year. So that's just, you know, I'm up in the air. You know, some Rams fans are speculating, but I mean, I could kind of see it. I feel like Matthew Stafford has gone through more than almost any quarterback as far as taking a beating in the league thus far.
That O-line has not been holding up for him at all. Yeah.
Yeah.
Moving on to wideouts. It looks like we have three wideout injuries of notice here. Allen Robinson, anything to add there?
I do not. I think it was an ankle. I want to say.
Who's he? Forgive my ignorance. Who's Allen Robinson playing for right now?
Oh, he plays on the Rams.
Right. That's brutal. Because, dude, they're down Cup. They're down Allen Robinson. I forgot that that's who they had.
That means Van Jefferson is going to be their number one wide receiver. Which is wild. I mean, I know it's Super Bowl hangover and everything, but lose your starting quarterback, starting wide receiver, your second string wide receiver, and then, you know, you're just – I feel like they've just been plagued
this season. Big time, man. Big time. That's brutal.
And, you know, maybe that played into the – it's going to play into the decision of shutting down Matthew Stafford because
– Exactly. That would make so much sense. I mean, he's out there. He's going to be running for his life. He's going to be throwing in nobody's.
Exactly.
I don't even think it's worth talking about potential pickups that might be coming in. Like, it's just not worth it, in my opinion, because it's going to be such a young team. There's not going to be anything proven there. It's going to be a fluke touchdown if anyone gets a touchdown coming in to fill Allen Robinson and Cooper Kupp's roles, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Do you pretty much agree with that sentiment? Okay.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, Darnell Mooney, also placed on IR. Thoughts?
I mean, I don't think it's huge. I mean, Darnell Mooney has shown a lot in the past, but he's, you know, he's having a decent year. You know, he's got like almost 500 yards, 40 catches, 2 touchdowns. But I think the Chicago Bears, like I said this, I think 2 weeks ago on the podcast, have started to find their identity in running the ball. They obviously 100%. Were great running back. They were a great running team at the running back position, but then you add, you know, what Justin Fields has been able to do the last couple of weeks. Obviously he was out last week and he's hurt, which, you know, he's hurt with I believe it's a shoulder injury. So, it's just, everything's leaning more and more towards the Bears running the football, which is who they've been all season. So, I don't think it's a huge loss for them. They don't have anything to play for anyway. So
sitting at 3-9. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Jacoby Meyer, apparently an AC joint injury.
Yeah, I don't know anything about this. The Patriots are probably the team that I know the very least about in the entire football, the entire league.
Right. So. Yeah, I'm right there with you. I'm not. Plus, their offense to me is just so boring to watch.
I did just pull this up, and it does say that he plans to play Thursday.
I see that 6 hours ago.
Jacoby Myers. He's kind of put up the same production as Darnell Mooney. He's got 47 catches, almost 600 yards, and 3 touchdowns. So,
you know what's funny about Jacoby Meyers? Huh? You know what's funny about that name? So, when I was little, my mom used to always call me. Yeah, exactly. Used to always call me Jacoby and Myers. And I'd be like, why are you calling me that? Because it looks like Jacob with a Y, Jacoby and Myers. It's like, why are you calling me Jacoby and Myers? I'm like, what the heck is that? And I didn't know until recently. I was out in California visiting. When I moved out here to Arizona, I took a trip out to California. I saw these billboards, Jacoby and Myers, Jacoby and Myers. I'm like, what the heck? It's a law firm. Jacoby Myers is a law firm, bro.
That's crazy.
So there's also a Jacoby Myers football player. Anyways, just a little side tangent there. Okay, moving along to running backs here. Damian Harris with a thigh injury. Anything to note there? I think
that hurts him a little bit.
Again,
I don't know a lot about the Patriots, but I do know that him and Stevenson, they split the backfield. I believe Stevenson has been coming on more as of late as the main running back, but obviously you throw a little bit of Damian Harris in there and it helps a lot. So it's going to be a little bit of a hit for them, but I think Stevenson will be able to, you know, pick up the load. And I mean, maybe that's somewhere where you look to as far as fantasy wise, you don't have, you know, Harris taken away from Stevenson's snaps or anything like that. So, you know, if you're really in dire need for some running back help, then maybe looking at Ramondre Stevenson will be a good idea. I mean, I don't know if I'd rely on him in the playoffs if you make the playoffs, but hey, if you're in the consolation bracket and you want to win some games, you know, maybe put Stevenson out there.
yeah, sure. Elijah Mitchell, that's an interesting one. What do you think about that one?
It's weird because since Christian McCaffrey has come to San Francisco, from what I've seen outside of, you know, that one game where he threw a Christian McCaffrey threw a touchdown, caught a touchdown, ran a touchdown. I feel like Elijah Mitchell has been doing the same exact stuff as Christian McCaffrey. So I do think that this is kind of a hit to the Niners run game, but they also do still have Christian McCaffrey, which, I mean, we could just knock it out now, who is apparently dealing with a patellar tendon injury. It was seen that he was wearing, I believe, what do they call those things? Like a little, it's for arthritis, like a little band around his knee. I don't know if there's actually any like official thing that came out about that, but it's something to watch, especially Elijah Mitchell's down. I do believe Christian McCaffrey will start to get more of the workload, especially with this injury. I do think the Niners will hurt a little bit because of this, especially, I mean, maybe not this week, but they're going into, is it in Miami this week? Whatever. But they have a big game this week against the Dolphins. Granted, their defense isn't great. You know, they're probably middle of the pack at best, but I do think that Christian McCaffrey will have a good week as long as he can stay healthy.
Sure, I agree with that. So Christian McCaffrey, as far as we know, is full steam ahead. He's playing.
Yeah, I believe so.
Is that correct?
Well, okay. And I don't even know if we know that Elijah Mitchell is out. I can look here really quick.
Okay. I saw, I was looking that up a second ago on Elijah Mitchell and it said...
Oh, he is out. Oh, yeah. I know what? I don't know how I forgot about this. They were saying that he's going to be out for 6 to 8 weeks. And that's going to be, I mean, obviously pretty serious, so...
Yeah.
I'll have to. I look at these kind of situations because the Chiefs have had a couple of these. I look at these situations as kind of like a good thing because Elijah Mitchell, like, obviously injuries aren't good. Nobody wishes for him. But this allows Christian McCaffrey to maybe ramp up his reps a little more, but then also allows the guys, you know, the third string, fourth string guys to be able to get a little more reps. And then, you know, he comes back 6 to 8 weeks. I guess that maybe puts him coming back around the Super Bowl or whatever. Maybe he's like a freak of nature and he can come back in four or something like that. But I think it'll give other guys reps that they wouldn't normally get. And I think you really want those down the stretch.
Yep. All right. Just a couple more guys here on running back injuries. Najee Harris out with an abdomen injury, apparently. Pittsburgh Steelers running back, correct?
Yep, he left the game yesterday, I believe, around halftime, a little before halftime, I believe. He did have 10 carries for 35 yards and a touchdown. As a Najee Harris holder myself, he's not great. Yesterday, you know, was kind of I guess, an exciting start for him because he put up some points early, but then he got hurt. And so I think this is going to hurt them. However, I believe it was Benny Snell's came in place of him, and I think he had a touchdown himself as well. So Pittsburgh has always been a situation where no matter what running back steps in that offense, they're going to dominate. This year was kind of the exception with Najee Harris because the Pittsburgh offense has been just kind of hit or miss. But that offense has always been an offense where you can take any running back and throw them in there, and they're going to look great. You know, we've seen a James Conner, Najee, Le'Veon Bell, Benny Snell. Benny Snell, I think, has done this several times over the past couple seasons for the Steelers. So I don't really expect them to miss Najee too much if he ends up not playing. I haven't seen like a designation for this week's game.
Yeah, anything, the Steelers are another one of those offenses that just bores the living bejesus out of me to watch. Every time I see a Steelers game on these days, I'm like, man, I think it was a couple weekends ago. It was, or maybe just one weekend ago. Anyways, it was Steelers and Saints they played.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a primetime game?
Oh, that was it might have been. I don't know. Ago. I don't know.
2 weeks ago. Okay. Well, regardless, I was just like, man, I miss the Drew Brees, Ben Roethlisberger days. This would be such an entertaining game if those two guys were still out there.
Right.
Nowadays, those offices are just like snooze fest. All right. Let's move on to, and I think I'm gonna pause here for a second, Mike, because I think you're gonna put us down in here. But on to the waiver wire.
First bar, factory rejects. Those hoes are hard to frazzle, Max. But we did our worst, and that's all that matters.
Quarterbacks on the waiver wire. Let's go ahead. I have my players list, available players list, pulled up right here in front of me, Dion. Hopefully you should do the same. And anyone that you think would be a good pickup as far as quarterbacks in the matchups. Before you and I talk a little bit more about it, though, Mike, in his notes, has Kenny Pickett going up against the Falcons and Mike White going up against the Vikings. I think, man, that Mike White against the Vikings, I feel pretty good about that one. That's, I think, potentially could be a really good game. I'd be willing to put money on that he's going to hit at least 20 points. What do you think?
Oh, I completely agree. Especially given the fact that, you know, what you pointed out earlier, the Vikings have the worst pass defense in the league.
Yep.
And then Mike White, I think he's going to, I think we're going to see, I don't know necessarily about the level of like the, you know, level of magnitude as the Linsanity run, but I think we're going to see like this weird, you know, momentum run with Mike White stepping in, you know, like all of a sudden he's got the city of New York, you know, behind him. He's got the coaching staff. He's got all the players, you know, they started using Elijah Moore, I believe is his name, Elijah Moore, And, I mean, he was upset at the beginning of the year, and now they got Mike White in there. I think he caught a touchdown on Sunday. So, I think we're going to see Mike White. I'm not going to say light up the Vikings, but I definitely think that this one's going to kind of be a back and forth, I guess, a shootout, if you will. I don't know if it's going to be as crazy, you know, it's not going to be a barn burner or anything, but I definitely think it's going to be very back and forth.
Totally agree. I'm not seeing Mike White on the available players. Am I just missing him? Do you see him? Oh, there he is. I see him. Okay. Going against Minnesota, 14.3 projected. I'm surprised it's that low. I would be, I'm thinking closer to 20 points. I think he's going to have a really good game.
I agree.
But we'll see. We'll see. Maybe he'll come back to earth. But he balled out last week, and I could see that again. What do you think about that Kenny Pickett against the Falcons note?
Thoughts? I don't know much about the Falcons defense. I will say I have Kenny Pickett in a couple of leagues, and I believe they're predicting him to have about 20 points. Our league here has him projected 15 points. Kenny Pickett looked decent last night. What is it, Tuesday? Yeah, he looked decent last night. So. Yeah. I could see them starting to, you know, figure things out slowly, especially because he seems to really be growing that connection between him and George Pickens. And so
isn't that funny? Pickett to Pickens. That's hilarious.
Yeah, right. I think we're going to slowly start seeing that continuously get a little better each week. And I think when Pickett has games like he had last night, he's going to start getting more confidence, you know, because it's not like they don't have a great head coach. You know, Mike Tomlin's been one of the best in the league for probably a decade at least. So I do think he'll have a good game. I don't think he's going to put up, you know, like top five quarterback numbers or anything, but I definitely think if you're, you know, struggling at quarterback, maybe you had Aaron Rodgers and you're a little nervous about the injury thing or whatever, maybe pick up Kenny Pickett and slide him in there. But I would not expect him to have, you know, a Patrick Mahomes type game or mm-hmm. whatever.
All right, question for you, and then we'll move on from quarterback. But would you rather start Marcus Mariota against Pittsburgh or Derek Carr against the Chargers?
I think, personally, I would rather start Derek Carr just because I feel like him and Adams are starting to click recently. That's also it's also a huge rivalry between those two. Yeah. You know, they had the crazy ending to the season last year. And then it's in Las Vegas. So I would rather start Derek Carr there over Marcus Mariota because I'm not huge on Marcus Mariota, honestly.
I'm not huge on Marcus Mariota either. However, I think I would lean towards Marcus Mariota, simply because of his running abilities.
Yeah.
He's been kind of a bit of an underrated runner this year. And I could see him potentially, if he gets a rushing touchdown, that could be, you know, the swing there.
Yeah, I can see that.
And the Steelers are 25th ranked as far as defense goes. So we'll see. We'll see. That's an interesting one. All right. Let's move along to running back. Mike here in his notes has Brian Robinson as a running back of note. Thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, Brian Robinson's been doing pretty well this year. Let me see what his stats were last game. For some reason, it pulled up a whole different screen.
Sure.
Okay, now I got completely... Okay, here we are. Let's see. Well, he's going up against the Giants, who have the 20th rank defense to running backs. Mm-hmm. And then stats. And I pull up stats, and it pulls up, like,
yeah,
only his career. Anyway, yeah, I mean, I like him, but I wouldn't say he's going to be, you know, because we're getting to the point of the year where it's like, you know, this week might make or break you for the playoffs. And I don't think Brian Robinson is yet a guy as like a workhorse or a guy that you're like, he's not old reliable, you know, he's not Austin Eckler. He's not, you know, Saquon Barkley. Granted, he's been kind of wishy-washy lately, but you know, like he's not a guy that, you know, you can put him in there and get 20 points.
Sorry, I interrupted you. Go ahead.
I see right now they're projecting him 10 points. I would say that's pretty realistic. And with a running back, you know, you're not hoping to get 10 points out of your running back. So,
yeah, honestly, man, I look at this list of best available for our running backs, and I'm not any of these guys are essentially you're going to be flipping a coin. There's not a single guy here that I feel great about. Let's look at. He mentioned buys are Cardinals and Panthers. So if you're a James Conner owner, right? And for Panthers, who's their workhorse?
It's kind of a committee. They have a
committee they have back there.
Foreman, I believe.
That's right. Okay. So if you're either a Cardinals running back, so James Conner or any of the Panthers guys, you're flipping a coin here. Gus Edwards is who my eyes went to immediately because he's averaging around 10 points a game, which would be a solid plug and play. However, you look against who he's going up against this week, which is Denver.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Denver's got, for as miserable as they are on offense, pretty dang solid on defense. They have a squad out there on defense. They're definitely not losing games because of the defense in most cases. Situationally, they could have been better from here and there. But so Gus Edwards to me is even kind of a like, ooh, that'd be risky. You could look at... Who is this? Kyren Williams, who I won't even pretend to act like I've heard that name before because I haven't. Yeah. He's got to be their, it's either third string or second string running back. Ain't no way he's been playing a lot of games. Let's see what's his touches.
I mean, we just played him and I don't even think I heard his name.
No,
if I remember right.
So he had 11 carries against KC. Ooh. And three receptions. He totaled about 60 yards of offense. So he actually ended with 7.5 points. He's going against Seattle at home this next week. Seattle's defense has been porous, to say the least. So,
yeah,
Kyren Williams, if you are absolutely desperate, that'd be my recommendation there. The beautiful thing about being in an eight-team league is we all have quite a bit of depth on our benches. So this segment is going to be a lot more fascinating, I think. I'm going to be paying a lot more attention to what Mike says and other guests on the show next year, because we plan, hopefully, you know, fingers crossed, Dion, we can get 10 or maybe even 12. I feel like 10 or 12 is a pretty a sweet point. You know, that's kind of a sweet spot. So yeah. All right, let's move along to wideouts. Wideouts. We have, all right, so the two recommendations for pickups courtesy of Mike are Cortland Sutton and Garrett Wilson. Let's go ahead and look at, I'm going to pull up our list here. Sutland, dude, I can't even lie. I mean, we got Jerry Jeudy and Cortland Sutton right there, the top two recommended. Whoever you pick, this is a lose-lose to me. I don't feel like there's 100%. A good pick here.
This is exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah, because whoever you pick, I can almost guarantee you the other person is going to get the touchdown this week.
Or, I mean, if we just look at that offense alone, like, let's not act like, you know, they're putting up high-flying numbers and stuff. You know? So, betting on Cortland Sutton or Jerry Jeudy is also betting on Russell Wilson, and that's the last thing that I want to do if my fantasy season's on the line, you know? So, I just feel like there's better options here, you know, even if you look a little further down the list. You know, like, my personal opinion, Garrett Wilson's probably the best guy on our list here, especially, you know, like I said about Mike White, he's going to ride the momentum. He's playing the worst pass defense in the league. You know, they're sitting at 28th in the league here. He's averaging 10 points per game, but he had two touchdowns last week, and he's obviously Mike White's favorite guy. Yeah, you have Elijah Moore. You're going to have James Robinson getting some catches and stuff too, but he's made it very obvious that he likes Garrett Wilson, and I think he's going to continue to go to him in the future. If you want to go to a little further down the list, though, you have Van Jefferson here, who just became wide receiver number one in L.A., and then right below him on this list, you have Pickens. George Pickens, who, like I said, him and Pickett are finally starting to figure it out. I would take of those guys night and day over either wide receiver.
Likewise, I want nothing to do with Denver's offense. So I had Jerry Jeudy. I think I actually drafted him back in August when we had our draft, and I quickly regretted that. He's not even averaging double digits, averaging 8.7. Cortland Sutton is averaging 9.2. So do with that what you will. I don't trust either of those guys. I want nothing to do with Denver's offense. Yeah. I would go for Pickens personally. A couple factors. He appears to be becoming a favorite target of Pickett's. So, I mean, he got six targets just this last week, six targets the week before. So he's getting looks. He had 16. So he's on 13 points, 16 and 9 point trend right there. Last three games. And this week, guess who he's playing? Going up against Atlanta with their 30th ranked defense, apparently. So Pickens would be my pickup if you need a wideout fill in this week, if you're an owner of anyone on the either of the teams on a bye, who my Cardinals and Panthers. So maybe I actually should take my own advice here and look into that, because I have a DJ Moore on the Panthers. It's DJ Moore, right? Pretty sure it's DJ Moore.
Yep.
Why don't? Yeah. So maybe I should look into that, subbing in Pickens. But all right, let's go down to tight ends, and then we'll wrap up with defenses real quick here for free agents, waiver wire targets, tight ends. According to Mike, his recommendations are Dalton Schultz and Tyler Higbee. What are your thoughts?
In my personal opinion, I think this is the opinion of the vast majority. If you are relying on a tight end pickup at week 13 in your fantasy league, you're screwed. You're fighting for last place. You know, because I sent it in the group, the Discord earlier this week. We were having kind of a conversation. I don't know if it's still 100% true right now, but there was a bigger difference between tight end one and tight end two than there was between tight end two and tight end 33. And wild, so man. If you don't have Travis Kelce or those top guys, like, I don't know what to tell you.
Okay, so Travis Kelce, if you don't have a guy that can get
10 or 15, then you're fighting for, you want Higbee. You know, who may have, what is that guy, Perkins throwing to him? You know, Dalton Schultz, sure, like, he's in a good offense, but they got that rookie tight end. I forget what his name is, but they started using him a little bit more in Dallas. So And then you could swing and probably miss with Taysom Hill, you know, hope he gets thrown in at quarterback or runs the ball or something, gets you some other points. But I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of any of these tight ends on the
hypothetical question for you, Dion. Would you, going into next season, so I guess kind of two questions for you. Let's pretend it's next fantasy football season. We're in the second round. Let's call it second round. And your pick is up. You see Travis Kelce on there. You taking him in the second round?
Second round? Yeah, probably. Well, it also depends how the first round fell. Sure. What pick I have, stuff like that.
Would you ever consider taking him first round?
I think I would. I think there was a league this year that I saw somebody taking Mark Andrews and Travis Kelce, like when they had the 10th overall pick, and which is a wild, you know, it's wild. But like, if you have a great tight end, I feel like
that's such an advantage, dude.
You know, because it's at one point in the season this year, the running backs were all over the place. Mm-hmm. So then the people who drafted running backs early, like you should. Yep. You know, we're kind of screwed because the running backs weren't doing great. You know, I drafted Najee Harris and I was like, it's yep. over for everyone. Like, I got Najee, Christian McCaffrey, you know, like I put those two guys together. It's over, you know, as long as they stay healthy. But things, you know, just haven't worked out well for running backs this year. But I think if you have a, you know, Travis Kelce, I feel like he's guaranteed like 25 to 30 points a game. You know, I think he's projected that like every week, and which is just wild to me. You know, I messaged one of my buddies this week because in another Discord, we have a league together, and I was playing him, and he always somehow in one of his leagues gets screwed by Travis Kelce. And I messaged him and was like, oh, you know, after that touchdown catch, and I was like, oh, two catches, and he's already at 15 fantasy points. I was like, it's going to be another one of those days, which it wasn't, but he has that ability to go off for 30 points, you know, like we've seen multiple times this year. So
yeah,
I think I would still take Travis Kelce. I think he's got three to four more years of this. Like, I would say three years left of this prime, yeah. at least.
Yeah, two to three for sure.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, it for a while there, for a number of seasons, we had kind of three elite pass catching tight ends when we had Gronk, Travis, and we also had Jimmy
Garoppolo. Or no, Garoppolo. What? Jimmy Graham.
Thank
I
you.
I just said Garoppolo.
Jimmy Garoppolo. Yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy Graham. Now you got me saying it. Jeez Louise. Yeah, Jimmy Graham. We had Jimmy Graham, Travis Kelce, and Gronkowski. So those three guys, you know, if you had one of them, you were pretty set. In 2022, it's T. Kelce and good luck, you know,
yeah.
This was going to be my other question for you. If you can have any tight end outside of Kelce in fantasy, who do you want? I have my answer. It'll probably be the same as yours.
Personally, I would probably take Mark Andrews.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Cause it seems like those running quarterbacks for whatever reason always seem to favor the tight end routes. They always seem to hit the tight ends. I don't know why that is, but I've noticed that in my, you know, decade plus 14 years, whatever, of watching football. Seems like the more mobile a quarterback, the more active they get the tight end. It seems like they always find the tight end. I don't know why that is. Maybe it just has something to do with the routes tight ends are running. When plays break down, I don't know. But yeah, I'd probably go with Mark Andrews. He seems to be great hands. A red zone target. Yeah, I agree with you. All right. Let's move along to defenses. We can do this section quick, and then we'll move along to some last couple things here. But defenses, if you need a pickup, Mike's recommendations are Ravens, Bucks, or Seahawks. What are your thoughts?
I would agree with those for the most part. I mean, the Ravens are going up against the Broncos. Nobody's going to be surprised when the Broncos put up like 9 points this weekend, which is great. They still, you know, they have corners that can take the ball away. They got Marcus Peters over there. He's a dog. So I think the Ravens, in my opinion, are probably the number one pickup that I would take. They're also seventh in the league as a defense. But if you look at our league here as well, the Seahawks, they're 17th, so they're kind of middle of the pack. But then I look down here, and it kind of surprised me. The Jets defense is available. They're fourth in the league.
Would you trust them going up against Minnesota?
I don't know.
Picking them up?
But I know that those guys are good over there, you know, led by Sauce Gardner.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I forget who that they got. I can't remember his name. It was a guy that we as fans wanted in the draft. He's on the defensive line. Was it Jermaine Johnson? I don't know. But the Jets are, you know, a really good defense. I wouldn't be surprised. Man, I know I said earlier it was going to be a back and forth game. I wouldn't be surprised if the Jets defense puts up a good game here. Yeah. But I do agree with Mike's three suggestions with the Bucks and Seahawks just because of the matchup itself. Seahawks are going against the 32nd ranked offense, which is the Rams. Obviously, yeah. We've talked about them a million times during the injury report. And then the Buccaneers are going up against the 27th ranked offense in the Saints. So matchup-wise, I think all three of those are really good. And I don't know if you've heard this a lot, but I know a lot of guys that drop their defense every week and play their defense by matchup. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But, you know, this week looks kind of good if that's the kind of guy that you are.
Yeah, that's kind of what I've been doing this year, honestly. Real quick, and then we can move along. You mentioned Marcus Peters on the Ravens, and it sounds like a lot of Ravens fans are frustrated because he's still having a lot of the same tendencies that he had when he was with the Chiefs, which is he's either getting an interception or he's allowing a big play. And a bunch of fans, I guess, in this game that just happened, I saw on Twitter, a lot of times after a good team loses, I like to go to the official team Twitter page and just see what fans are thinking. It's really interesting to see the emotion from other fans' perspective. And so I hopped over to the Ravens fans' Twitter page, you know, the official page, the official Ravens team page tweeted, you know, final with the losing score. And so many people were pissed at Marcus Peters, saying, time to cut him. But at the same time, I've seen him have a couple takeaways this year. So kind of interesting. It's just that dude's a interesting, very polarizing player for sure.
Yeah. And I'll just add to that. I don't know if you saw this earlier today about LeJarius Sneed cracking into the PFF top cornerback rankings, but they do have Marcus Peters at 10, which I thought was kind of interesting. I haven't seen what fans are saying, but Ravens, if you want to cut him, I would be glad to have him back in Kansas City.
I'll just never forget the game that he took his shoes off or whatever and went off the field, socks off, and he had to come back and play without socks on. It was so funny.
That is like throwing the flag into the stands. And
yeah, I thought he was going to get
kicked for sure.
What an interesting dude. All right. Cool. Any last tidbits on any sort of free waiver wire targets?
No, I don't think so.
Cool. All right. Just to keep in mind as well, once again, Cardinals and Panthers on bye. So set your lineups accordingly. All right. I want to move along and talk about a couple random things with you, Dion. Starting with the playoffs. We have one more week before the playoffs start. So let's hop on over here to our standings. And as fate would have it, the lineup is set for the playoffs. As of week 12, we have our playoff teams and we have our consolation bracket all set. So congrats to Hertz Donut, Dion, shout out. Reed's Naughty Boys, congrats Doug, Team Mess, congrats Jared, and Donut Lord. I guess congrats, Vlad, whatever. I'm a little salty about Vlad making the playoffs, but hey, he keeps finding ways to win, so I can't really knock him for it.
If I could, I do want to interject because this is the wildest form of crap talking that I've ever seen. Me and Vlad played each other this last week. My name is Hertz Donut in here because I have Jalen Hurts, and he changes his name to Donut Lord. I don't know. I cannot confirm 100% that he changed his name, but I don't remember it being Donut Lord before this week.
It was Team Phoenix Vladdy Daddy. He changed
it. Right. And so I saw that, and I just couldn't believe that he changed his name to Donut Lord and then lost. I mean, it was a close match, I'll say that. But I just want to give him a shout-out for that that kind of crap talking.
Because, that was dang funny.
It was definitely something different.
I feel like it's bad juju to be changing your team's name going into the playoffs. I don't know.
I would agree as well.
I'm not superstitious, but I am a little stitious. So I don't know. That seems like some bad juju. Hopefully it doesn't come back to bite you in the tail. Donut Lord, team Donut Lord. But it's kind of a fascinating, it may seem the fact that we have all of our playoff lineups, you know, we have our playoff team set. It makes it seem like, oh, well, this must be a really boring week with nothing at stake. Wrong. You couldn't be more wrong. We actually have quite a bit of movement within those four seeds. Mostly because if we look at the week 13 scoreboard, we have, sorry, I shared a Discord little thing. Cool. As far as matchups, we have Dion, you're going up against Elijah. Gritty, gritty, bang, bang. I don't think this isn't a shoe-in for you. This is going to be a tough matchup. Gritty, gritty, bang, bang, I think is the third best offense, I want to say. He's up there in points scored. He can put up points when his team gets rolling. Man, they stack him up. So it's not a shoe-in. Regardless, I think you're locked in as one seed because you've lost to Team Mess, who's a game back, or you've beaten Team Mess. You guys only had one matchup. Yes, you guys played once and you beat him. So
sure, I thought I lost him. I thought he was one of my losses.
Pretty sure. Double check that for me.
I'll check it
real quick. I'm almost positive I looked at him.
He beat me 108 to 102. That was in week 11.
So that's the only game you've played against each other?
I believe so.
Okay, so
which makes this game even more interesting. Actually, you know what? He's two of my three losses this year. He beat me 121 to 119 week four as well.
Okay, I apologize. Okay, so Mess has swept you. So if you guys finish with the same record, even though you scored more points, he gets the one seed. If he wins and you lose, he gets one seed, you'll drop to two. So this is kind of a must win for you. You need to beat Gritty Gritty Bang Bang. We'll see.
I will say that's huge for me because if I can secure this one seed, then that week four loss where I lost by 2 points, the home field advantage in the playoffs will give me the 3-point advantage, which I, you know, obviously we're not going to score the exact same, but it makes that a win if we were, you know, to recreate it. And then that week 11 game, you know, I lose by 5, you know, makes it a little more, a little closer, you know, down the stretch. So
most of it, so yeah, for anyone, it means a lot. You need to pull out the win here if you want that one seed and get home field throughout both rounds of the playoffs. So for those of you who don't know our playoffs, the way they work, top four teams make it record wise. If teams have the same record, it goes to tiebreaker. It goes to head to head matchup. If you've split 1-1, it's a point score. So that's the way the standings work. Home field. So the one and the two seed for these first two round for the first round of the playoffs, one against four and two against three, home field gets a +3. So there is actually incentive to want to do good in the regular season. Finish with that best record. Yep. Anyways. So, you're either going to be the one or the two seed.
This, go for I'll it. Just add this in here too, just to add another spin on this. You know, say Vlad and Doug stay where they're at, 3 and 4, respectively. I go to the two. Now I'm playing. Oh, I'd be playing Vlad, wouldn't I?
If you're the two, you play the three.
Well, now
seed,
that I correct. Look at this, this adds kind of a wild thing here because Vlad is the three seed. Let's say Vlad is the three seed in the playoffs. Doug is 4 seed. Vlad's the three seed, and he's scored 1,250 points. But Doug is the four seed, and he's scored 1,460 points.
More with points.
A differential of 210 points. So, right. I mean, I'm not gonna tank because I have too much, have too big of an ego. But if you were to drop to the two seed might be better because you're playing a lower, you know, a lower powered offense.
That's a great point.
And so, you know, maybe that two seed's where you want to be, but then it hurts you, I guess,
championship round,
the final round when you don't have that.
If you play the one seed. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So there's some strategy going on here for sure. Anyways, so there's quite a bit of movement that could happen here. So let's say Jared wins, you lose. That means Jared's one seed, you're two seed. And then it depends on what happens between me and Vlad. If Vlad beats me, that would make him three seed, and because he would be seven. No, that would make Doug the three seed. I'd have to look at. Okay, let me rewind here. There's a lot of minutia going into this final week.
It's so wild, you know. Just thinking going into the final week, everyone's locked in. You'd be like, oh, it's nothing, but
No, there's pretty much
so much.
The only thing that can happen is Deion being the 3 or 4 seed and Doug and Vlad being the 1 seed. That's the only, those are the only things that can happen. Every other order is in play. So keep your eyes on the scoreboard this week. And also please be sure to set your lineups so that we're getting, you know, the best of everyone. Let's see here. I want to see over in general. Oh, I wanted to quickly talk to you about a potential, something that we've been talking about a little bit as we've gone through the season, is the idea of there being a last place punishment. So if someone gets last place in the league, there being some sort of punishment, some sort of, you know, I don't know, you got to do something that you probably don't want to. Now, I was thinking what would be funny is if, and this is really simple, we could probably come up with something way better than this. And I would love to, maybe this can be an off-season chat we have with everyone, but I thought it would be really funny is if in the consolation bracket, if you finish last in the consolation bracket, so you get fourth place or eighth place, you then have to pay the winner of the consolation brackets money. Does that make sense? So if you win the consolation, if you win the consolation bracket, you basically set, you save your $20 versus, does that make sense? So if you get last, you have to pay the winner of the consolation brackets. Exactly. Of the consolation bracket, obviously not the champions, because I mean, they don't pay money.
So basically you're out double the money instead of just.
Exactly. If you get last, you're out double the money. And if you win the consolation bracket, you didn't win the league by any means, but you don't have to at least pay the champion their money. Kind of a cool idea. No.
Yeah. I like that. I like the idea of giving people a reason to keep playing, you know, because
exactly.
I think that's the number one way to avoid collusion. We haven't seen any in our league or anything. But that's, I think, the number one way to avoid it. I have some buddies in my other Discord. We all used to be stationed here, and so they all could do things together, but they've all kind of split up a little bit. But just the last 3 years, I believe they had a guy who had to dress up in a dress, and they all went out to dinner together, and so he just shows up in high heels and a dress and everything. Last year, they had a guy do the one chip challenge, and then this year, ooh, the loser has to make a calendar. For only the guys in the league get it, unfortunately, because I would love to have it because it'd be hilarious. But they have to make a calendar and then send it out to all the guys. But I think it just gives people a reason to keep playing. You're not just, you know, like not setting your lineup anymore and just saying I'm done with it. You know, it makes it a little more fun for everyone, because the guys at the top are fighting for the championship. The guys at the bottom are fighting to not be the loser, you know?
Exactly. I just think that's awesome, because like you said, yes, Michael was just asking about, I typed that out, what we were just talking about in the chat, so that we, don't forget that idea. Cause I think that's a fun one, but I also think that we could do something even better than that. So we'll chat about it in the off season. If you guys got any ideas, feel free to share them in the Discord. Finally, draft order for next season. I think that's a good idea. Where did I see Mike ask that? Okay. Are we going to do your standing this year equals your draft order? I think that's a good idea. I would love to do that. What do you think?
I'm not opposed to it. I mean, it would kind of make sense, because theoretically, if you're the worst 1 year, then you should get a little bit of an advantage the next year, just to try to, you know, even things out. So
yeah,
I will say, I do want to look at something. There was something that I was looking at here that was how the final standings have moved throughout the year. And I think it's, Mike is Read 'Em and Weep, right?
Correct.
The preseason rankings had him as the worst team in the league, and they were finished not wrong. there's quite a bit of movement here. I don't know if you can pull it up here. I think you have to go to standings, and then in the top right, you have to hit final standing projections.
Okay.
So go to standings, and final standing projections. You can see, so the circle that is filled in completely, like with the color, is where they started, I believe. And then
other way around.
If it's empty, that's where they started the projections, where ESPN thought they were going to be. And then the full color is where they are at right now. Mm-hmm. It's kind of wild to look at it. You know, they have, I believe that's Doug. He started at three and ended at three. And then me started at two, ended at one. There's some more movement towards the bottom there. You were six and moved to five, so you exceeded mm-hmm. your expectations.
Let's go.
But it's definitely kind of interesting to see this. This is one thing that I don't think Sleeper has. But
yeah, Donut Lord, Vlad with the
sure.
Vlad with the most was the biggest overachiever. Actually, Reed's Naughty Boys. So both Doug and Donut Lord jumped up three spots from their draft day positions.
Yeah.
The biggest loser was Team Fitz, who dropped two spots. Actually, I'm sorry.
No, yeah.
Elijah went from one all the way down to seven, which is brutal.
That's absolutely gotta be injuries brutal. Or something. That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I also did real quick, looking at the standings, something that was real fascinating to me was if we look at the points four, we have Elijah, third in the league, points four. He's not going to make the playoffs.
Yep.
And Vladdy Daddy has a negative point differential by about 70, and he's second to last in points scored, and he is going to make the playoffs. So it's just wild. It goes to show that week to week, you may get the luck of the matchups.
Well, yeah, for sure. It's wild, too, because, like, you know, I'm second in the league with 1,441. And then you look at Jared. Jared's beat me twice, but he's 150 points behind me, sitting at fourth in the league total. So it's kind of wild. Just since we're here on this page, one thing that really kind of blew my mind, if you sort it by rankings and then you look on the far right side to look at moves, it's kind of interesting to me, you know, how the top two guys, me and Jared, respectively, have 8 and 6 moves. So the fact that we took our draft team, only made a handful of moves and still 1 and 2. And then you look at Mike down at the bottom, who has 32 moves, which is the most in the league, and he's the worst team in the league. It's just kind of interesting to look at those kind of trends, you know?
Also, interestingly, going right along with that, our 3 and 4 seeds right now, being Vlad and Doug, they've made the second and third most transactions. So our playoffs are fascinating because we have the two fewest, well, actually, sorry, Fitz has made the actual fewest, but two of the least few, like fewest moves made, and two of the most moves made making the playoffs. And in that respective order too. So pretty fascinating. While we're on this page, let's go ahead and we'll end this podcast episode with, I see, Mike is sending some, he's sending some memes in the chat. I was getting distracted by that, but that's funny. Let's go ahead and we'll wrap this episode up of the Nothing Catchy podcast with these are Jake and Dion's rankings. All right, we're hijacking the rankings for a week, and then Mike, we'll hand the reins back over to you going into the playoffs. But I think we got to agree that number one, Hertz Donut, you have the best record right now. You're 9-3, even though you have been swept by Jared. You've got more points for, and you have a game up on him. So I think that you are the definitive number one team right now. I'm sure you agree.
Yeah, I agree.
Yep. No arguments.
I just want to say, too, Jared, if you're listening, it's hard to beat a team three times in a season. So
that's very fair. That's very fair. Now, let me know if you disagree with this. I actually petitioned to put Reed's Naughty Boys at number two.
I would agree, because like you pointed out before we started the podcast, Reed's Naughty Boys, or Doug, is sitting at fourth in the league total, you know, according to the record. But he has the most points scored in the league, right? He has the most points scored in the league, and he's second in points allowed. So second to
least. And he's on a 3-game win streak,
which is wild to me how you can have both of those things going for you, but you're fourth in the league. So I think he's going to be a sleeper coming into the playoffs.
Dude, His team's been hot, man. His team's been super hot. He's won 3 in a row. He was struggling along there. He was on a losing streak where he was down all the way. He had dropped to 4-5. He was sub 500. And then I played him. We were both 4-5. And that was my last gasp. Couldn't pull it out, and he's shot up from there. Done nothing but win, pretty convincing fashion too. So he's on a 3-game win streak. He's riding high. I think that we got to put Doug at number two right now, even though he doesn't have the best record, or he's two games back. And there's a couple people. Team Mess is ahead of him in record, but he did just lose. And his points for are not particularly impressive. He's fourth in the league, it looks like, but only two points more than me for the season. So if I'm remembering correctly, we're going to go Dion. We're going to go Reed's Naughty Boys at number two. We will go Team Mess at number three, who you still can't sleep on him. Jared's got a good squad. He's got some great players. I was trying to make some trades with him, and he was like, dude, I can't do it. I'm rocking with my guys. He's got Travis Kelce. He's got Josh Allen. He's got some ballers. So good luck going into the playoffs, Jared. Fourth, we will put Donut Lord, right? We have to. We got to put him at number four. That's only right. Now, this is where things get a little interesting. I would like to, let me take a gander here at everyone's ranking. 5 and 7. Okay, so it's a three-way tie at 5 and 7. Okay. I think we have to put Elijah at number five.
Yeah, I would agree. Because out of the next three teams there, he's scored the most and allowed the least.
By far. Exactly. So he's third in the league total and points for. So I got to respect that. We will put Elijah at number five. Now, let me know your thoughts. Do you think it should be losing with Mahomes? Should it be my team? No longer chilling with Mahomes. I'm losing with Mahomes. I changed my name, and then I pull out a win by 1 point, of course. Sorry, Jerry.
I would say yes. I would keep you there only because okay. Fitz and Mike are both on a loss. Or on, you know.
Coming off a loss.
Fitz is on a loss, and then Mike's on a four-game losing streak. So I don't think you can make a case for either of them jumping you for number six.
And I've scored more points than Team Fitz.
Yeah.
And Team Fitz has been sporadic at times in getting his players ready for the games, a.k.a. not setting his lineup. So, okay, so I'll be at number six. Rounding out the power rankings, we got Team Fitz at number seven. And apologies to Mike, who is now three games worse than the next closest record. Read him and weep at number eight. Don't worry, Mike, there's always next year. I don't expect to see it all the way down there next year for sure. Just got a little unlucky. But it is what it is. So there we go. There's your power rankings for the week. Dion, any closing words?
No, I would just say tune in next week to find out the results of the crazy week that we had or that we're about to have. I'm sure we'll do an extended breakdown of all of that stuff. Talk about the final playoff spots, matchups for that and stuff like that. So
yeah, that'll be a blast. Next week, we'll have a look at the playoff seedings, the games, the matchups. And even a consolation bracket. So there's still a reason to keep playing. Dion, thanks so much for joining. Mike, shout out to Mike. Thanks for letting me and Dion co-host this episode. It was a blast. Hopefully you guys enjoyed listening. And we will see you all back here on the Nothing Catchy Podcast next week. Peace.